sound. Excuse me. And we got to lower this a little bit. Right to about there. That's probably good. All right. Yeah, that's good. And let me start. What else do we got to start? We got to start everything. Okay. Shabbat Shalom. Well, Shabbat Shalom. It's real good to be here today. I feel the joy of the Lord, which is our strength.
Amen.
And I hope everyone feels that way. We are one of Messiah congregation, Kahal Chabe Mashiach, just a little piece of the Israel of God. And today is the Sabbath. And we're going to pray, and we're going to say this prayer too. So we'll pray, and then we'll say this prayer, okay? Heavenly Father, Master of the Universe, we Creator of all things, bless and anoint this Sabbath in Yeshua's name. Bless everyone here. Bless everyone on the Pow Talk and everyone that would hear this message later on from the messages that are archived on the server. I pray you'll send down a special blessing today upon everyone in the body of Messiah with special healing, special strength, just a special nearness today, Father. Be with us. We look to you, Father, in the kingdom of heaven. We always ask you to correct us if there's anything we say wrong or do anything wrong. Help us in everything we do. Bless this day, the study, and open our ears and hearts and minds and souls to grow, Lord and God, in you. And now we will say this prayer together. And it starts with, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. We also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And you may be seated. Praise the Lord. You know, if you forgive men and women their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses or women, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So I always try to keep a good conscience. Today is February 28, 2015, the last day of the month again. I know, this flew by, January and February of 2015. Where'd it go? We'll start March tomorrow, actually. And you guys know about February by now. However, we're still in Adar. It's the eighth day today. And that's found in Ezra or Esther. And this word Adar means glorious, but it also means hidden. And I'll explain that to you if you don't remember. And that's what that's all about. Soon Purim, God's victory over Haman, our enemy, which is Adar 14. And this is called a mishte in Hebrew. It's a feast, but it's a different kind of feast. It's a banquet. It's a celebration. It's not the feasts that are in the Leviticus, okay? And it's a shatah, which is basically the same thing, you know, to drink and celebrate and just, you know, especially this victory over Haman, our enemies. Anyway, my ministry is a teaching ministry, and to talk about topics maybe you're not familiar with or maybe you're not accustomed hearing in a congregation, I try to undelete some things for you. For your convenience, my servers, I point over there because they're still running, thank God. And you could read the studies, you could hear them, you could watch them, you could download them. Basically, they're available for everyone for free. We don't charge anyone any money or we don't charge anyone anything. We don't take salaries. We're on Pow Talk right now and we're streaming live, and there's the video right there. And you can put that MMS in your real player. Of course, I'd also like to come to your congregation basically in person one day, the gathering. That would be great. But, you know, at the moment, I haven't received too many invitations. I might have to get something going here with some people. You can always click on that link. So anyway, some dates just to put in your mind, okay, these dates are important. Next Friday will be Purim 14, so we'll... Lord, We'll be Purim 14 next Friday, and we'll probably, we haven't decided if we'll be here or online to read the book of Esther, maybe online probably. Also, God's New Year is approximately 3 weeks away, which is not far, and that's going to be Ha'aviv and the Nisan, of course. And also, March 22nd, the evening starts the 21st, best date we can predict at the moment. And approximately 5 weeks from now is Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And you already know how fast that's going to come, right? First fruits. Seems like a good time to reflect and examine ourselves. My wife, would you please give me some water? I forgot to get some. And also a napkin. Thank you. It says it's a good time to reflect and examine ourselves. So David says in Psalms, "Judge me, Jehovah, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in Jehovah. Therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, Jehovah, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth." Amen. "I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. I have washed my hands in innocency. So will I compass thine altar, Jehovah, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Jehovah, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwells. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men or women, in whose hand is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribes." That's amazing. David had a lot of stuff going on. "But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me, and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregation will I bless Jehovah." Amen. And Paul takes some instruction from this. Apostle Paul tells the Corinthians, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. You know, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Yeshua the Messiah is in you? Except you just might be a reprobate," you know. So that's an interesting thing. He's actually telling the Corinthians, you know. And I wanted to read this sort of in the 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm reading it sort of a little bit backwards because I think this should come first. "Whosoever shall eat this bread," and just talking about taking the bread and the wine or the grape juice, "whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. So let a man and a woman examine themselves, and so let them eat of that bread and drink of that cup, because if you eat and drink unworthily, you eat and drink damnation to yourself, not discerning the Lord's body. And for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many are dead." You know, if we should judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Amen? So we already prayed and asked God to cover us in his holy blood of any sin, any blemish, any spot, anything. And Lord, we hold nothing against anyone. We have no grudges. Let the will of the Lord be done in every matter. And Apostle Paul says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, which I am doing also, that the Lord Yeshua, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And if you happen to have a piece of bread, take it. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. We do this in remembrance of Yeshua.' Take and eat." Amen. "After the same manner, also, he took the cup." He took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So let's take it and drink in the name of Yeshua. Amen. In remembrance of God. "For as often as you eat this bread," as often, and we're going to start doing it more often, And drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Amen. Hallelujah. We thank and praise you for dying for us and being our sacrifice. Amen. And today we're going to talk about Purim. And we like breaking bread with people that are of one mind, one accord, and one spirit. And I thank God we could do it today. So we're going to talk a little bit about Purim, the invisible, the hidden star, you know. The word Adar is Aleph, Dalet, Resh, okay? So as anyone knows here, the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet is Aleph, which basically is silent, has no sound, unless you put a vowel next to it. So it's hidden. And then we have the word Dar, which means to dwell or to live. So I could actually see by this word, Adar, that when broken down, it could convey this message of this invisible, hidden God wants to dwell among us and in us. Because Adar is this hidden month, you know. In the book of Exodus 25:8, we see that God says, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. And that's so beyond big right there. God wants to dwell among us. As Exodus 29:45 says, I will dwell among the children of Israel and be their God. And they shall know that I am Yehovah their God that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am Yehovah their God. So isn't that beautiful? God wants to dwell with us and be in us, and praise the Lord. I mean, I can't think of anything better than that. The word Adar actually means, one of the words is glorious, but it also means a mantle, a cloak, something you could actually cover yourself, you know. And Hadassah, which that is Esther we're talking about. There it is in Hebrew, Hadassah. It says Esther. The Hebrew word Esther means star, okay? But the root of the word Esther is Satar, which happens to mean hidden also, which is unique. And this isn't something I'm making up. These are actually the root of the word. Notice the word God, and when you read the book of Esther, which we'll read the Megillah, they call it the Megillah, we'll read that Friday, but the words God, Lord, they're not mentioned. But we know God's in there because they're fasting and doing things that you would have to be doing it to God. So again, God and Lord are even hidden in this book. So something or someone glorious is hidden. It says, is the morning star, the word of Jehovah, and the real Messiah hidden from the world? Yes. Just think, most of the world today, most people don't even know it's the Sabbath, right? I mean, you know. We just do it we're just so aware of it. You could check your Bibles in 14:12, where it says, how art thou fallen from heaven? And they put the English word in here, Lucifer, son of the morning. Of course, in the Hebrew, it's Hillel. But if I said Hillel to you, that wouldn't mean a lot to you because you speak English. So they put Lucifer in there to make him like an actual person. But this Ben Shachar actually means the son of the blackness of the morning. It has nothing to do with, there's no star there. You know, there's no word for star. And Yeshua is the morning star, not Satan, right? And that's found, of course, in Revelation. Yeshua says, Yeshua, Jesus in English, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. So this coming Friday, we will be reading the whole book of Esther, Lord willing. For now, I wanted to read chapter 9. So if you have your Bibles, or you can read on the screen, whatever's easier for you. Okay, now in the 12th month, which happens to be right now, that is the month Adar, on the 13th day of the same, when the king's commandment and his decree drew near to be put in execution, in the day that the enemies of the Jews hoped to have power over them, though it was turned to the contrary, and the Jews had rule over them that hated them, thank God, The Jews gathered themselves together in their cities throughout all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus to lay hand on such as sought their hurt, and no man could withstand them, for the fear of them fell upon all the people. Amen. And all the rulers of the provinces and the lieutenants and the deputies and the officers of the king helped the Jews because the fear of Mordecai fell upon them. For Mordecai was great in the king's house, and his fame went out throughout all the provinces, for this man Mordecai waxed greater and greater. Thus the Jews smote all their enemies, thank God, and with the sword, and smote, wait a minute, let me read that again. Thus the Jews smote all their enemies with the stroke of the sword, and slaughter and destruction did they, would, did what they would unto the, those that hated them. Amen. And in Shushan the palace, the Jews slew and destroyed 500 men, and Parshandatha, and Zalphon, and Aspatha, and Poratha, and Adelia, and Arithia, can't even say these names in English, and Parmashta, and Arisii, and Aridei, and Vayazetha. I know I'm saying them all wrong. These guys are the 10 sons of Haman, the son of the Hamathite, the enemy of the Jews, slew they, but on the spoil they laid not their hands. So they killed them all. Remember, they hung them all up. On that day, the number of those that were slain in Shushan the palace was brought before the king. And the king said unto Esther, the queen, the Jews have slain and destroyed 500 men in Shushan the palace, and the 10 sons of Haman, which have... says, what have they done in the rest of the king's provinces? Now what is thy petition, and it shall be granted thee, and what is thy request further, and it shall be done. Wow. Talk about God turning enemies for you on your side. Then said Esther, if it please the king, let it be granted to the Jews which are in Shushan to do tomorrow also according unto this day's decree, and let Haman's 10 sons be hanged upon the gallows. And the king commanded it so to be done, and decree was given at Shushan, and they hanged Haman's 10 sons. For the Jews that were in Shushan gathered themselves together on the 14th day also of the month Adar, and slew 300 men at Shushan, but on the prey they laid not their hand. But the other Jews that were in the king's provinces gathered themselves together, and stood for their lives, and had rest from their enemies, and slew of their foes 75,000. 75,000. But they laid not the hand on the prey. That's a lot of people. So, in plain English, excuse me. So, you might ask, why do we observe and acknowledge Purim? Right? You might say that. Well, check this out. This is verse 17. I want you to read this closely. On the 13th day of the month, Adar, and on the 14th day of the same, rested day, and made it a day of feasting and gladness. But the Jews that were in Shushan assembled together on the 13th day thereof, and on the 14th day thereof, and on the 15th day of the same, they rested and made it a day of feasting and gladness. Therefore, the Jews of the villages that dwelt in the unwalled towns made the 14th day of the month Adar a day of gladness and feasting and a good day, and of sending portions one to another. And Mordecai wrote these things and sent letters unto all the Jews that were in all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus, both nigh and far, to establish this among them, that they should keep the 14th day of the month Adar, and the 15th day of the same yearly, as the Jews, wherein the Jews rested from their enemies, and the month which was turned unto them from sorrow to joy, and from mourning to a good day, that they should make them days of feasting and joy, and sending portions one to another, and gifts to the poor. And at this moment in time, in our congregation, we don't really have anybody that's poor, so we're still going to feast and have a celebration. And the Jews undertook to do as they had begun, as Mordecai had written unto them, because Haman, the son of the Hammathatha, the Agagite, the enemy of all Jews, had devised against the Jews to destroy them, and to cast pur, that is the lot, to consume them and to destroy them. But when Esther came before the king, he commanded by letters that his wicked device, which he devised against the Jews, should return upon his own head, and that he and his son should be hanged on the gallows. Wherefore they call these days Purim, after the name of Pur. Therefore, for all the words of this letter, and of that which they had seen concerning this matter, and which had come unto them, the Jews ordained and took upon them, and upon their seed, and upon all such as anyone who even joined themselves, because a lot of people at that time became Jews, because God was with them. It says, anyone who joined themselves, unto them, as it should not fail. It should not fail that you're going to celebrate, and that they should keep the 2 days according to their writing, and according to their appointed time every year. And that, now if you're a real Jew, like we are, and that these days should be remembered throughout every generation, every family, every province, every city, and that these days of Purim should not fail from among the Jews, nor the memorial of them perish from their seed. Is that a good reason why we should acknowledge this or observe it? Then Esther the queen, the daughter of Abihail, and Mordecai the Jew, wrote with all authority and confirmed this letter, the second letter of Purim. And he sent the letters unto all the Jews to the 127 provinces of the kingdom of Ahasuerus with words of peace and truth, to confirm these days of Purim in their times appointed, according as Mordecai the Jew and Esther the queen had enjoined them, and as they had decreed for themselves and for their seed the matters of the fasting and their cry. And the decree of Esther confirmed these matters of Purim, and it was written in the book, which we are reading today and also on Friday. Sounds like a good thing to do. I would also celebrate when Hitler was destroyed and World War II ended, wouldn't you? From sorrow to a good day. Yom Tov. The book of Esther, I see, is a hidden message of Messiah. So let's review this death, resurrection, and deliverance of Messiah and salvation. So whoever thinks that the book of Esther is useless, think again. That's all I can tell you. Here's my thoughts. We see in verse 12 of chapter 3, the 13th day of the first month in the evening, just before Passover, Nisan, Ha'aviv, then were the king's scribes called on the 13th day of the first month, and there was written according to all that Haman had commanded unto the king's lieutenants and to the governors that were over every province, and to the rulers of every people of every province according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language, in the name of the king Ahasuerus was it written and sealed with the king's ring. So that was the 13th, right? So we go here to chapter 4, verse 16, and we see, go gather together all the Jews that are in the present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat or drink 3 days and 3 nights. Which sounds very clear to me as Jonah's prophecy of Messiah. In the book of Jonah, we see that and Yehovah had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the whale, which is symbolic of Messiah, of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man, the Messiah, be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And that's what that's all about. But if you add the 3 and 3 is 6, I hope. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house over against the king's house, and the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house over against the gate of the king, gate of the house. Sounds like Messiah's resurrection on the third day. To me, And the third day is recorded about 15 times in Scripture. And it says, and he was buried, and that he rose the third day according to the Scriptures. So this could be the 16th of Ha'aviv, Nisan. And then we go to Esther 5:8. If I had found favor in the sight of the king, if it pleased the king to grant my petition and to perform my request, let the king and Haman come to the banquet that I have prepared for them. I will do tomorrow, as the king had said. This would be the 17th of Ha'aviv or Nisan, right? So we read below. So the king and Haman came to the banquet with the queen Esther, and the king said unto Esther on the second day at the banquet of wine, what is thy petition, Queen Esther? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? And it shall be performed, even to the half of his kingdom? Boy, I always put a question mark on that. I don't know about that. But I mean, you know, I'll give her a lot. That shows you the favor God gives with your enemies. Then Esther the queen answered and said, if I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given for me at my petition, and my people at my request. If we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish, but if we have been sold for bondmen and bondwomen, I had held my tongue, although the enemy could not countervail the king's damage. Then the king Ahasuerus answered and said unto Queen Esther the queen, who is it? Who is he? Where is he that does that wants to do this and devises such an evil in his heart? I just paraphrase that. And Esther said, the adversary, the enemy, is that wicked Haman. Wait, boo, right? Haman was afraid, therefore, of the king and the queen. And the king, arising from the banquet of wine in his wrath, went into his palace of garden. He's probably thinking over what he should do. And Haman stood up to make a request for his life to Esther the queen, for he saw that that evil was determined against him by the king. I bet. And the king returned out of the palace garden into the place of the banquet of wine, and Haman was fallen upon the bed whereon Esther was. Oh, no. King's already mad. Then said the king, will he force the queen also before me in the house? As the word went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. He's finished. Yay! And Harbona, one of the chamberlains, said before the king, behold, also the gallows 50 cubits high, which Haman had made for Mordecai, who had spoken good for the king, stands in the house of Haman. Then the king said, hang him thereon. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified. Oh. And that's God. People of God delivered. Yeshua rose from the dead on the 17th. And the first fruits. And there it is. So I see a picture of Messiah in that book. I see a picture of Jonah about Messiah. And I see so many hidden things in the book of Esther. And there's probably more that we haven't even uncovered yet. But This hasn't been a long study today. It's actually pretty short. As Moses, we should all be like this. We have to endure. Endure means you have to continue in spite of difficulty. You have to endure in this world of opposition as seeing him, God, who is invisible, who's hidden. Okay? In the letter to the Hebrews, by faith, Moses, he forsook Egypt. He forsook Egypt, the big empire at that time, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who's invisible. Amen. And we have to do that. We have to be just like Moses. So all I can say is, now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. This is not a long day, a long message, but we'll be back to read with you and study. And if you have any questions after this, the mic will be open. Heavenly Father, I thank and praise you for this study today, this study of victory over our enemies, and this time of Purim. Let it settle in our hearts, Lord and God, because we are true Jews, true people of God. And I thank God for the blood of the Messiah. I thank God for your deliverance, that you delivered us from the wrath to come and from eternal darkness. And I thank God that our brothers and sisters right now, the spirits of just men made perfect are with you. And the spirit goes back to God who gave it. And there are much people in heaven even now. And all the people in the Bible, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, are gathered unto their people. And I can't wait to meet everyone, Father. And I thank and praise you for another Sabbath and healing upon everyone here. Take away every sickness and disease away from everyone in the body of Messiah. Give us true health, Heavenly Father, spiritually and physically. Help us in every endeavor and be with us. Show us every word to speak and everything to join ourselves to, and take away anything that's corrupt in Yeshua's name. And I thank God for another Sabbath day. Amen. For the joy you give us. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. I hope you enjoyed my study. Let's see, I only spoke for almost 45 minutes, and that seems short.
Well, we sang three songs first.
And we even sang songs. So anyway, there's a lot of... Maybe we'll talk about this hidden, invisible God later. And there's so much in the book of Esther. Does anyone online have anything to say? Let me open the room and see how many people are here. I see all of you. Did anyone get anything out of the study today? I hope anyone want to come up. We forget about the remembrance of Amalek and Haman and Esau and all these other people that are of the evil seed. In other words, their deeds, their actions, and what they did in their lives. And we forget about the remembrance of them. And we only look forward to God and to the righteous people in the Bible and the remembrance of their activities and what they did. And that's what we're supposed to do. And we're never supposed to forget we were bondmen in our last lives of sin, and the devil was Pharaoh, and he tried to keep us in bondage, you know, but we broke the chain and we're free by God. And that's what we're always supposed to remember. Very good. Anybody else would like to come up? Anything else? I know there's probably people in the room that have never acknowledged Purim, and anybody else would like to come up? Anybody else would like to say anything? Oh, wait a second. My study today was only 45 minutes. Usually it's an hour. An hour seems so much longer than 45 minutes, doesn't it? But come on up if you want to say anything. Poor Zach's got a brick out there.
Maybe
he's got the brick. Maybe he's going to be a mason one day.
Oh,
Maybe that's a sign.
Bricklayer.
Okay, go right ahead there, Ron. Well, that's the end of Ron. Ron, were you coming up, Ron? Come on up. Okay, well, I guess no one wants to come up, so... No comments.
We're patient.
Did everybody remember that Esther means star and the parsing of the word is sitar, which means hidden?
I forgot about it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really important to know that because the words God, Lord, and all that's not even in the book of Esther, believe it or not. And so there's a lot of hidden things in Esther, a lot of hidden things. Anybody have any questions or... We'll be reading on Friday. Friday, we can get together in the night and read Purim, which would be great. Okay, well, I'm going to stop the...
Question.
Huh?
Feedback question. So it was talking about 13, 14, 15. People celebrated on the 14th.
Yeah, you could do it the 13, 14, and 15. You could do it the 14. You could do it the 15. As long as you do one of those days and remember that the devil... Haman was destroyed, who was going to try to cause genocide against the Jews, like Hitler, probably one of the first Hitlers, or one, maybe not the first, but I'm pretty sure the devil was the first. But anyway, we made it through. We're still here. And there's Louise. She's a Jewish. I'm Jewish. My wife is German-Jewish, and you must be Jewish, too.
Somewhere now.
Yes. That's right. But anyway, I want to anyone who has joined themselves, it says.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, well, God bless everyone. Shabbat Shalom, and we'll be back in an hour. Let me stop the video. And that's over. And I'll stop the recording.